Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you, want to speak directly with you right now. The toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada is 844-322-2742. Now, if you're hearing the program any other time than 3 p.m. Central, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll discuss it as soon as possible on the live Basic Gospel program. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. We've received the gift of righteousness, so we're going to reign in life with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our victory. And so many of us don't live in that victory because we're not sure what it means to be made righteous. Well, Paul really explains it for us in Romans chapter 8. And this is something we really need to let sink deep inside of us. This particular passage starts in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? So Paul has explained so much in the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, and he starts Romans 8 with the wonderful truth that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, talk about a mind bender. Yeah. Talk about something that just blows you away with joy and fills your heart with thanksgiving to know that there's no condemnation for you. And then he gives the reason. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. He shows us that we're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God lives inside of us. After showing us that the Spirit of God lives inside of us, he tells us that the Spirit of God is going to continually bear witness with our human spirits that we're children of God. It will empower us to cry out, Abba, Father. So we have this powerful testimony of the Spirit inside of us, testifying that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, co-heirs with Jesus yeah. Christ, we're bound for glory. This all of creation is under this curse, and when we are glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ, when that moment happens, then liberation is going to take place for the entire cosmos. It's a huge salvation. And he goes on to say, and as we wait for glory, we have this incredible promise that God is going to work all things together for our good to those who love the Lord and who've been called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? To conform us to the image of his Son. And he's done that by calling us, by justifying us, by glorifying us. It's just this incredible plan. And so Paul asks the question, what in the world should we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the answer. That's the response. Well, if God is for us, and obviously he is for us. Yes. He is so for us, it just blows our minds away. And if he's for us, if God is on our side, who in the world can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, Christ, graciously give us all things? So if he gave his Son, sent his Son into this world to die in our place, if that's the love of God for you and me, how much more now that we've been born into his family, now that we've been given the Holy Spirit, now that we've been declared righteous, how much more will he give us all things in Christ Jesus? So we can wake up every day with this wonderful sense of expectation in our hearts. What's God going to do in and through me today? How is he going to bless me in Christ today? Now, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So here is the practical benefit of knowing that you are righteous, knowing that you have been justified as a free gift. There's going to be all kinds of people that try to bring charges against you. We have an enemy of the soul. He's known as the accuser. So he's constantly going to bring accusations against you. This world system that we live in is a judgmental system. Yeah. And so it is going to judge you on every little thing that you do. If you don't dot an I or cross a T, judgment is coming your way. and you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel that accusation, the weight of that accusation, if you pay attention to it. But if you know this passage, that you have been justified, God has justified you, then you realize even the accusations of the enemy, even the accusations of Satan himself, hold absolutely zero power. That holds no water. Why? Because those accusations are based on lies. Those accusations don't align with the truth. The truth is God has justified you. That's truth. So stand with the truth. Mm-hmm. Let your roots grow deep into that truth, and it will sprout up a harvest of confidence, a harvest of assurance, a harvest of peace, and a harvest of just straight out looking at the accuser saying, get away from me. You've got nothing to say to me. Why? Because God is for me, and I don't care how much you are against me. That means absolutely nothing. Yeah. So, folks, you are righteous. No one can bring a charge against you. Why? Because the one who matters, God himself, has justified you once and for all as a free gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
That's great basic gospel words right there, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being here to share this edition with us. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to remind you of the phone number, 844-322-2742. We have plenty of time on the clock, of course, at about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time. So if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, it is the live broadcast, and you can call straight into the studio and speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. You know, it's been sad to see that many people believe that right standing before God is something that that you have to earn. They fail to see that righteousness is God's gift and that there's no way we could ever work hard enough or do enough good to earn our way to God. Now, to expand on this truth, Bob Christopher has produced a teaching series called Revealed, and it's a true eye-opener to help everyone see and receive God's gift of righteousness by trusting in the finished work of our Lord Jesus. We want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift to support Basic Gospel in the month of July. Click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift right now and receive your copy of Revealed. You can start now to stand confidently in the truth that you are right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, make your gift now or any time at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and to our friend Andrew listening to us in North Carolina. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Good afternoon. How are my friends doing?
We're doing well.
Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So good to hear from you all the time. Well, I just had a couple of questions I wanted to ask them. One of them was about Jesus. Not Jesus, but God. When he created Adam and Eve, did he know, because God knows all things. We were just having a dialogue with a friend of mine, whether that they were going to sin and then that he was going to have in place Jesus to come, or when he put him in the Garden of Eden, he put him in a perfect place, and then he gave them free choice, and then they decided to sin. So then that's when he had to come up with an alternative plan, and that alternative plan was Jesus. That's my first question. And the second question, I was reading about the swine, when the legion had so many demons in it, and then he took those demons and told them, the demons asked to go into the swine, and I was wondering what was Jews doing with swine. And then the next question, I was wondering, why did they want to go into the swine? And then when they went off to the ravine, why were they, what happened to the demons then? And then why did the people ask Jesus to leave the area after that happened? So I hope I didn't take too much of your time.
No, not at all, Andrew. Good questions. Thanks for your call. The first one, as far as Adam and Eve, and was Jesus kind of a reaction, one of God's reaction to their sin? So he gave them free choice, and once they sinned, then he had to come up with a game plan to figure out a way to save man. Well, that's not the case at all. God knew what was going to happen, and Jesus Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Of his first letter. He was foreknown, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, as far as Adam and Eve is concerned, their decision to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a decision inspired by Satan himself, wasn't it? So yeah, God had said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, we don't know kind of the dates and how long and all of this was going on. But there was a time where they just enjoyed their relationship with God. They walked with him in the cool of the garden, and they partook of all the trees, including the tree of life, but they did not participate or did not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then one day the serpent, crafty as he was and crafty as he is, stood in front of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in his conversation with Eve, he made that tree look desirable. So the characteristics of the world system came to life at that moment in time. And through his lies concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he lured Adam and Eve there, and processing the information that they had just heard from Satan, those lies, they chose to eat. They chose to believe that the lies of Satan were actually true, and that through those lies, they could gain independence from God and become like God. Well, reality was, Satan made them fall in love with death. And so they chose death over the life that they once experienced in the garden with God. And that became the problem of mankind, death. You and I come into this world, Andrew, dead spiritually. As Paul said in both Ephesians and his letter to the Colossians, you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. The gospel message makes us alive together with Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead spiritually, you and I are, or just as he was raised from the dead physically, you and I are raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. So this plan was always the plan of God. This salvation in Christ was always in place, was in the mind of God. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the word, word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's a word that means logic. And so this plan of God, this logic of God, this Jesus was in the mind of the Godhead before creation even came about. And he knew that there was a point in time in human history when he would send Jesus, and Jesus would make things right. He would overcome sin and death. He would defeat them with one single blow, that death on the cross. And then he would raise us up so that sin and death could never have a place in our lives ever again. That's the good news of the gospel. And so it's just the wisdom of God that is beyond our full knowing and understanding. So, yes, Jesus was plan A, was always the plan of God, even before creation happened.
Now, so we can say he knew exactly what was going to happen.
That's exactly
why he had the plan in place. Okay.
That's exactly right. Thank so I think this word foreknowledge, we need to tie that word foreknowledge to Jesus Christ. He was the one that was foreknown. What he was going to do regarding sin and death was foreknown. And at the right time, that foreknowledge became reality for you and me. Now, now, as far as the demons were concerned, this is an interesting passage. We read it in Mark and I think also Matthew. But Jesus goes into an area known as the Decapolis. Okay, so these were 10 cities on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a place where Gentiles lived. So Jesus' primary focus, as far as his ministry was concerned, was on the household of Israel, right? That's that's why he came. But he had this brief brief little ministry over there in that particular city. He met this man who was demon-possessed, and he exercises those demons out of that man, Gentile man. So he's giving kind of an indication, a clue, as to the full scope of why he's come. So this gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, is not for Jew only. It's not a primarily Jewish message. It is for both Jew and Gentile. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. So I think he's giving a sneak peek into the bigness of this gospel message, that it's going to go beyond the boundaries of Israel. So we see that. Now, as far as demons are concerned, why were they in that man to begin with? To steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus sent them out, and they said, "Send us into these pigs." And so he did so. And of course, we know what the Jewish Bible says about pigs, as far as not being edible, being filthy, and those sort of things. So it just seemed appropriate that that's where he would send them. So the pigs went into the water. They died. We don't have any other words about that legion of demons that occupied them.
Hey, man, I knew you could give me some enlightenment. I appreciate both of y'all. Praise the Lord. So I knew I called the right people, because that's what I was thinking, too. Thank you so much. And again, y'all have a God-blessed day, and we love your ministry and love what you do.
We love you,
and
Andrew.
And I enjoy your Sunday services, too. Appreciate y'all so much.
Well, thank you,
God
Andrew.
Bless. Thank you again.
We sure appreciate that very much. We have a question. I'm trying to find it here on our YouTube page. Do you have that up, Mr. Davis?
I do. As a matter of fact, it's from Greg, and he wants to know, what does chasten mean?
What does chasten mean? Okay, well, that's a great word. It's a word that we see in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And I just want to read this passage, because it's about discipline. It is for discipline. Well, I'll start in verse 5. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" So the writer of Hebrews is addressing us as sons. He's saying this is going to happen to children of God. And if it doesn't happen in your life, then you're illegitimate. That's what he's gonna say. So chastening is a word that flows out of the love of God for you and for me. So you have to tie this word chasten to God's love. "So my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." And it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So there's a reason that God does that. So there's a motivation. That motivation is his love for you and me. So when we are being disciplined by the Lord, and this is something that happens all the time, we try to connect discipline. We think that's going to come into our lives when we've done something wrong, when we've sinned, that only then will God get involved with us. Well, that's not true. He's constantly teaching us. He's constantly training us. He's constantly growing us up in this way of righteousness. So discipline is something that he does all the time, and he does it because he loves us. Now, sometimes this discipline is hard for us, and I think it's hard for us because of this word chasten, because of this word chastise. Now, some in some, that word is scourge. Mm-hmm. He scourges us. And boy, that hurts. That's painful because when we think of the word scourge, we think of that scourge that the Roman soldiers used to whip Jesus's back before he was crucified. Well, when you take that word back, that's kind of the Roman use of it, the Latin use of it. But when you take it back to its Hebrew roots, it's a word that has to do with farming, with cultivating, with getting to the depths of something. It's inquiring deeply. So God is always interested in getting to the root of things, the why of things. And sometimes getting to the why of things can be painful for us. But God loves us, and he wants to get to the root of things, because when he gets to the root of things, then the solution can follow suit. If we just want God to put Band-Aids on us, if we just want God to do superficial things to make us feel a little bit better about ourselves, that just isn't going to work as far as God is concerned, because he loves us too much. Mm-hmm. He wants to get to the very core of what's going on. He wants us to see it. He already knows it. It's not a mystery to him. He knows what's going on at the very depths of us. We're blind to it. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to help us see it, to see it for what it is, so that we can then entrust this area of our life, this situation, to his tender care, mm-hmm. To his wonderful discipline and teaching, so that a harvest of righteousness will be our yield.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. Kind of a follow-up to Andrew's question. This is from B. She says, I wonder how the serpent got into the garden in the first place, since that was a perfect place.
Well, based on the reading of the text, it's just like he showed up. Mm-hmm. The serpent, more crafty than all others, we just meet him in the garden. That's where we see him. How he got there, we don't know. We look at some passages, for example, in Isaiah 14. We see there that he had a place in the heavenlies, a pretty prominent place. Mm-hmm. And from that place, he looked at the throne of God and he said, that's where I really want to be. I want to usurp his authority. I want to take over his position. And from that, he had this mighty fall. And then we see from other parts of Scripture that he was given access to this world and had access to God's prized possession, and that was we humans. So he asked, for example, God to be able to sift Job and Peter.
Right.
And we see probably there was some type of permission given by God to him to have access to the garden. So he wanted that. God wanted that so that his plan to extricate mankind from the lies of Satan, the harm of Satan, could be fully executed in the person of Jesus Christ once and for all, so that when we're set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the power of life, it is a forever transaction, yeah. And Satan can never have his hand on us ever again.
I like that word, extricate. That was good. You just came right up with that, didn't you?
I did.
Friends, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Remember that our listener line is always open for any questions you'd like to discuss with us. Well, you can leave a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or you can post your question, your on-air question, under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. If you don't yet have your copy of the study guide, be sure to order yours, and you can find it through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again tomorrow as we continue in that study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.